You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Parliamentary Subcommittee on Solicitation Laws released its final report this week. The committee was struck in 2003 to examine criminal laws relating to adult prostitution. It met in major cities across Canada in 2005. Over 100 sex workers told the committee that laws criminalizing prostitution put their safety at risk. This week's report does not recommend any immediate changes to Canada's prostitution laws and instead recommends further study. Valerie Scott is a sex worker and the executive director of the Sex Professionals of Canada. She joins me on the line this morning from Toronto. Hello, Valerie.
Hello there.
What is your overall impression of the report released this week?
Our overall impression is that an awful lot of women participated in this report at great personal risk, and for the report to come out and essentially say nothing is insulting, a waste of time, and I don't know how much this costs the taxpayers, but I would imagine it was a fair bit of money. So really, it was an exercise in futility. It was a waste of time for all concerned.
Why? Explain about the participation of sex workers. How did people speak to the committee?
Well, in different cities, women who had never spoken in public before and were greatly concerned about their anonymity did. They felt it important after so many of our colleagues have either been gone missing or confirmed murdered, and also raped and robbed and beaten. So they really felt it was important to do it, and they did so. And then to have the committee come at the end of it all and say, well, yes, there's been many murdered, but gee, we should have more studies, is insulting and insane.
Why did they decide on that route of more study rather than making recommendations?
Because they couldn't agree on anything. They couldn't arrive at a consensus. And even parts of the study, like it's odd. For example, in terms of traditional pimps, they couldn't find hardly any. So instead of saying, and women would say that doesn't exist. The Hollywood pimp doesn't exist. And instead of saying that, they said, well, that must mean we have to look further. Instead of saying, oh, okay, we're wrong. No, they have to look further. And it seems as though, going through and reading this report, it seems as though the report was written, parts of it aren't too bad, but as if then they got a bunch of people from Mars to come down and write the recommendations. They don't have anything to do with the actual report,
so
which is odd.
What are the recommendations then?
Well, there are several. I suppose you could say the best recommendation, if you could say that even, is recommendation 7, which states that the majority of the subcommittee calls for concrete efforts to be made immediately to improve the safety of individuals selling sexual services, blah, blah, blah. But they don't say what concrete efforts. I mean, if why not just say what concrete efforts you're talking about?
How do the current prostitution laws put women at risk?
Well, communicating, for instance, prior to the communicating laws, when we were working on the street, it was we'd work in areas where there was high visibility. And we'd work in pairs and threes and fours. And one of the things we did that was a very good preventative measure was, say, I'd be getting into a car, my girlfriend would write down the license plate number. But pivotal was that the client saw her writing down the license plate number. This was a wonderful preventative measure. Can't do that anymore. If you're working in pairs, you're a target. You'll be busted. So as a result, women are working alone in out-of-the-way areas, like abandoned factories, those kind of areas. So they're getting into cars. No one knows with whom. They don't know where they are. And also, the law sends a message to people. It sends a message that these women are criminals and morally bankrupt, and you can do whatever you want with them, and you're going to get away with it. Chances are, no one's going to look too hard. So that law sends that kind of message, and you get unstable individuals, and they run with it. We're serving up these women to sexual predators on a silver platter.
So women are, well, you said women are targeted if they work in pairs. Is that directly as a result of the way that the law is written?
Well, it's a result of the way the law is enforced. Because when that law came out, the police had to do a show with saying, you know, that cleaning up the street. And you can't have two or three girls working on a corner. It makes it look as though the police aren't doing their job. So those women are working, but they are working in dangerous, poorly lit, out-of-the-way areas alone. And you don't have time to sort of suss up a customer. You've just got to jump in that car fast, because the more time you're on the street, the more chances are that you'll be busted.
Many of the submissions to the committee recommended decriminalization of prostitution. What's the difference between decriminalization and legalization?
That's an excellent question. Most people are unaware. Legalization sees prostitution as a vice that needs to be heavily contained and controlled, whereas decriminalization sees prostitution as a legitimate and necessary business. So, with legalization, typically, in places around the world, Amsterdam, places like that, you register at the police station, where you are fingerprinted and photographed and required to give very personal, detailed information about yourself to the police. Then after you spend thousands of dollars annually for your right to work, your license, you are told which brothel to work in. You don't choose. So you go to the brothel where you have sex with the brothel owner for free, often. And it's typically 12-hour shifts. You do not have right of refusal, i.e., if a client comes in and wants a particular kind of sex you're not comfortable with, you still have to do it anyway, which is sexual assault, really. And you're charged for such basics like clean sheets, soap. God forbid you should run out of a condom, then it's $10 per condoms. And the house takes 50% on top of all of that. The government takes 25% for sin taxes, because it's a sin, it's a vice. So the woman who's doing the work is lucky if she comes out of there with 25%, more likely 15%. So if it's a $100 date, she will make $15.
In contrast to this situation in the Netherlands, Australia decriminalized prostitution in parts of Australia, mm-hmm, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. What has decriminalization meant for sex workers in that country?
It's meant a great deal of freedom. It has meant dramatically reduced assaults. I don't think there's been a murder in years, And like last year, there was one bad day in Sydney. When these things happen, the police and the courts take it very, very seriously. And you don't need a license, a special license, there to work. You can work in whichever brothel you like. So as a result, there are very few bad brothel owners in Sydney. They don't last a week. That news travels very fast. And you don't need a special expensive $150,000 license to open a brothel either. So you can open your own. So that women in the business over there have much more control over their own business. And it's at any given time in Sydney, there are between 70 and 75 brothels. And it works beautifully. When I was over there, I worked in a collectively owned brothel. And because it was a collectively owned not-for-profit, the fees were reduced in terms of what we had to, you know, it was just for the rent, the hydro, the advertising, and we all pitched in with the cleaning. It worked out really nicely.
The Federal Conservative Party is against decriminalizing sex work, but other parties have expressed a willingness to explore the issue. We're likely to have a federal election in the new year. Do you think a new government in Ottawa would be more likely to make a difference to Canadian sex workers?
Unfortunately, I have to say no. The previous Liberal government did nothing while everyone was being, well, many of our colleagues were being murdered in Western Canada. Typically, the Conservatives see us as villains, the NDP sees us as victims, and the Liberals try and ignore us as much as possible. And that's usually how it goes. I think that for anything to truly happen around this issue, it has to be via a Supreme Court challenge.
Is that in the works?
I'm not at liberty to say.
It's been good
according to my lawyer.
It's been good to talk with you this morning, Valerie.
Very nice talking with you, too.
I've been speaking with Valerie Scott. She's a sex worker and the executive director of the Sex Professionals Association of Canada.